Hello, welcome to warrenthornton.com. You can see us Monday to Friday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And on Sundays, you can see us 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. With the ex-MP Lembit Opic. I am joined today for in the series of Warren Thornton in conversation with, and I am joined by Andrew Sibley, who is, of course, JAOC online, and he is an investigator into all forms of child trafficking. In fact, he's made it very much his specialist subject and has got many, many things to talk about. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Warren. Thanks for inviting me on your show. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. It is one of those things where we get into child trafficking. Now, this becomes a worldwide thing. We've had everything from Pizzagate to, of course, Putin accused of this. And of course, he showed up to show that, of course, this wasn't the case. And of course, Putin indeed could literally say where all those children were. However, we know that there's a huge amount of children that get trafficked from Ukraine. Over 400,000 have been trafficked so far. In America, 400,000 children go missing every single day. Sorry, every single year. We get 200,000 go missing in the UK. And of course, we touch on the child grooming and everything else. We're 250,000 white girls. We're literally raped with inside, the space of what, 20 years. And of course, this is very much a thing where you keep selling a child over and over again. There are Albanian drug gangs that no longer trade in drugs because they trade in children. We're talking about over 200 children that have come from Albania, that have come to the UK, into the hotels in the UK, and have just disappeared. Nobody seems to know where they are. And of course, Donald Trump has managed to find over 800,000 children that the Biden regime couldn't find anywhere. Either it's lost paperwork or whatever. But there is, when children are missing, Andrew, that's very much. And they're not tracked wherever they go, whether they leave home, whether they run away, whether they go to war, because of wars, they get trafficked across the globe. This is a proper pandemic, isn't it?
100%. I mean, I think it goes without saying, Warren, that people don't understand the depth and how far-reaching this trafficking actually goes. And of course, war is one part of that. War actually helps displace children from their relatively family-oriented, from that perspective, and that creates that vacuum. So for me, that people don't really understand how deep this really goes, and it is a worldwide trafficking problem, 100%.
Yeah, excellent. Well, maybe with your expert knowledge, you can take us through just how deep this goes. I mean, this from what I understand, from what I've seen, we're talking social services, aren't we? We're talking people in very high corridors of power. We're talking councillors. We're talking in many cases politicians. We're talking all sorts of services, from sort of social services or childcare services, down to police forces and everything else. Just take us through the depth of it, Andrew, and what you've found in your investigation so far.
Okay, well, I think you've touched on the Ukrainian situation and Putin and, of course, America and so on. But if we talk about closer to home, probably a good place to start. I think what we find very much so is that it's endemic in our society. And that is why we have such a huge problem. So if you look back in certainly the 70s and 80s with Ted Heath and obviously the information that came out from that area, then that was why it was all held up, and there was a satanic part to that as well. But what the concerning part really is that it's been controlled from all aspects of society. So it would appear that we've allowed it to happen. And we then wonder, like you and I would wonder, why is nothing being done about it? Well, that's because it's been covered by the police, the judges, the councillors, the MPs, and also the corporates. And of course, that trafficking of children is almost, if you can think about it, you earn more money from children trafficking than you do in drugs. So why would the criminal gangs not get more involved in it? And I think that's a big issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're looking on, you can only sell a drug once, whereas as horrific as it is, they can sell a child over and over again.
And that's the point. And the child can be, let's say, could be harvested out, for want of a better word, to as many people as that they can dream up. And then, of course, once they've finished their life cycle, In other words, they're no longer that young, or they have actually been abused so much they're no longer, let's say, an option to be used, then of course they're discarded. And that's when they're discarded, that's when the organ trafficking comes into it, which is also another horrific add-on to that particular situation.
So,
and the part for me one is, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead, buddy. Finish your
point. So what I'm trying to say is that if you can imagine a five-year-old child being trafficked in the UK from abroad, that child might be used 300, 400, 500, 600 times and resold and resold and resold. And we send advertising on Wayfair, Etsy. I mean, it's so much in our faces that people don't quite understand how serious or in-depth this really goes. And once they're finished with, what happens to the child? Well, the children can't be left to tell a tale, can they? They have to be disposed of, and that's what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So imagine a child is, in the UK. How do these traffickers, first of all, get hold of them? Secondly, where do they go? Take us through the steps that this actually entails when they get hold of sure. a child. How do they go about getting hold of it, first of all?
Well, if I pick the Ukrainian one as a really good example, because you brought it up at the beginning of the show, that the Ukrainian children, and we have a document, a dossier on our website about it, but the Ukrainian children, they're collected by their social services. So these are children that are displaced from their own families through the aspects of war. And they're collected by the SBU agents. I mean, it's quite an intricate, an intricate trade that they've got set together. So it's not only do they have, let's say, the local departments, the local social service departments of Ukraine, but also the local security services to ensure that they can be transported. In this case, these children are transported via Moldova. They're given to actually change of passport use, and then they're brought into the UK into three or four airports, mainly in the southern England, by one particular airline. Then when they're received at the airport, they're collected, pushed through customs pretty easily. They're not really checked, and they're taken off to various venues. And these are normally charities, and in some cases, some charities that are very well known to the public. They are then distributed from those charities to people who are their purchasers. And those are people that are willing to pay big money for these children to be used to their own leisure. And then they're resold on. So these gangs, whether in terms of actually the Albanians, or whether it's Ukrainians, or whether it's British gangs, these are really controlled by the whole group, which involves the security services, involves the police, involves all of the people that should be protecting these children. But when they arrive in the UK, they are distributed and sold at quite high value, and then continually resold again after that until their use is fulfilled.
Yeah, and then, of course, I take it they are disposed of and their organs harvested. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that people used to say to me, well, how do you know there's a tunnel network? And where do you expect these children to go? We've seen videos, and I think as you have also, Warren, of these children being used at such great levels, both in the satanic ritual abuse scandals and indeed other ones of social services. But it's when they're finished with and they are then used, and there are clinics in London that will actually take the children, and they will then, I'll use the word disemboweled, but not word to use, but they will be taken apart and those organs will be harvested.
Yeah, well, what I want to do is, I want to, if I can, I want to go to an allegation document. This is going to name people. This is going to name names. It's going to name, shall we say, a company. It's also going to name security services. And it's going to allegedly, but this is work by Vasily Porozov, who, of course, is a former SBU operative. He's a very high ranking SBU operative, which is the Ukrainian Secret Service. Since he made these operations public, of course, they have since blown up his car with him in it. And of course, he survived it and he's still alive today, thank God. But he leveled some very serious allegations. So let's have a little look at this and we'll go through it together. So he's the article that he wrote for UKR Leaks in July 25th of 2023 says Ukrainian children are victims of modern slave traders from Britain and the United States. Cases of child sex abuse in the United Kingdom have been recorded in the country throughout its history. We can safely talk about the systemic nature of such crimes. Their cause is a combination of many factors. He goes on to say, simple statistics, England in 2016-17, there were 43,522 sexual offences against children, under the age of 16 and a further 11,324 offences against teenagers in the range of 16 to 18. The police recorded 6,009 cases of rape of children under the age of 13 and 6,299 cases of sexual violence against children under the age of 16. Now, this is not including any way, shape or form. This is just in 1 year. This is not including the grooming gangs, the Pakistani grooming gangs that have been so prevalent over the last couple of decades. In Wales, there were 2,845 sexual offences against children. This is all 2016 to 17, so 1 year. Police recorded 446 rapes of children under the age of 13 and 340 rapes of children under the age of 16. In Scotland, 4,097 sexual offences against children under the age of 16 were recorded in that time period. Police recorded 196 rapes, attempted rapes of children aged 13 to 15, and 161 rape and attempted rapes of children under 13. In Northern Ireland, there was 1,875 sexual offences against children and young people under the age of 18 were recorded in 2016-17. And police have recorded 360 rapes and attempted rapes of children and young people under the age of 18. So we're talking over 50,000 children in one way or another, either raped or an attempted rape, Andrew, in the space of 1 year.
Yeah, and the fact is that these are statistics that are produced by the government, so they're not exactly, they're not something somebody just made up on the back of a fact packet, if I would speak, but these are horrendous numbers, and this is based on 1 year. Now, how can anybody ignore that? I mean, it's beyond me, and that rapes of children under the age of 13. I mean, I know that in different countries in there where they're slightly, they've skewed it slightly different from 13 and 16-year-olds and so on, but the facts are facts, and that is horrendous. And how any parent that can allow that to go, that just be go back to bed at night time and sleep and forget about it, is beyond me. I have sleepless nights every night, and I hear the children screaming all the time, and I can't envisage what it must be like for one of those children to go through what they've got they're going through.
Yes. Absolutely right. The scale of sexual crimes against children.
And the thing is that you've got with this. I mean, it's been allegations about Charles, and we should, I know you're going to come on to, but I want to make it out there. I'm a victim of this, and I was a child, and this happened to me. So whenever I hear this, and whenever I see it, it becomes personal, and it deeply affects me. And when I see this, and it's almost so people discard it, saying, "Oh well, it's okay. He's got 2 years or 3 years or whatever." We have to live with this for our rest of our lives. I have to live with this every day. At my age of 62, I have to live with it. And I still can visualize it. So when these people get these small sentences and they get discarded, it's almost becoming, oh, that's okay, it's just child abuse. Well, it's not. For people like me, we are survivors, but we don't survive. We just get through each day at one time. And I can tell you, from a child from the age of 8 to 15, which happened to me, 284 times. 284 times. I kept documents, I kept everything. And when I feel it, when I see figures like this, this is just scratching the surface, Warren. This is nothing. Can you imagine this over the last 50 years, how many children this happened to? It's horrendous. Horrendous.
Yeah. It is quite shocking. Of course, the Elm Guest House, and we have, Cyril Smith, and people like Cliff Richard were implicated, allegedly. There are many, many people about Prince Charles, of course, who was very good friends, shall we say, with Jimmy Savile, and a close friend of Charles, was the Church of England Bishop Peter Ball back in the 1990s. Yeah, they tried to bring him to criminal responsibility for sexual crimes against children. I wonder if Keir Starmer was the director of prosecutions at that time. But it was not possible to do this. The only thing the public achieved was the deprivation of Ball's spiritual dignity. As a consolation to the Bishop Disrobe, Prince Charles gave his best friend an apartment to stay in a luxurious estate. Decades later, in October 2015, Peter Ball was finally convicted of paedophilia and sentenced to 2.5 years in prison, a ridiculously short term, of which Ball served only half, after which he was released. So he basically did 14 months. Another well-known friend of Prince Charles is paedophile Jimmy Savile. Savile's crime shocked British society, becoming the loudest paedophile scandal in the history of the United Kingdom. And of course, Keir Starmer was the director of public prosecutions at that time, wasn't he? There are around 600 children affected by Savile. It should be clarified that Jimmy Savile had the title Sir in the 21st century. British paedophiles, Sirs, and some are such, Sir Andrew Fulford, Sir Cyril Smith, Baron Granville Jenner, Baron Leon Britton, Sir Peter Hyman, and other representatives. Now, the International Criminal Court in The Hague are issued an arrest warrant for Russian President Vladimir Putin in 2023. The current leader of Russia was charged with a war crime of illegally deporting the children. The ICC also sent out an arrest warrant for Maria Lvova-Belova, the Presidential Commissioner for Children's Rights. We're rejoined again by Andrew. Now, we're at the point where Vladimir Putin is being obviously charged with these, and on March the 20th, 2023, the Investigative Committee of Russia opened a criminal case on the ground of these crimes, bringing an obviously innocent person to criminal responsibility. First on the Investigative Committee's list is the ICC prosecutor Karim Ahmad Khan, a British citizen of Pakistani origin. The British prosecutor has a sibling, Imran Ahmad Khan, who by an interesting coincidence is a former member of the British Parliament from the Conservative Party and was elected there as an advocate for LGBTQ plus rights. And another
connection, can't you?
Yes. Another coincidence, an openly gay paedophile who was convicted of sexual crimes against children and served a 9-month sentence. Now, we know that Keir Starmer was the Director of Public Prosecutions when Jimmy Savile got away with it. We know that he doesn't want a full inquiry into who was responsible for these grooming games. And we know that over 100 Labour councillors, Andrew, are responsible, have been convicted of crimes against children. I mean, this is an epidemic, isn't it?
100%. I mean, what really gets to me is you have all these people in authority that are closing ranks between each other. I mean, you've got there, of course, Imran Khan. You've got the situation there with his brother. But then you've got Keir Starmer. And Keir Starmer is very well known that he was attending meetings in Washington, as you well know, with the CIA during the time of the incarceration of obviously, the WikiLeaks, the person who's responsible for that, the journalist. But, of course, that being the case, you can see all the way along that Keir Starmer has been involved in that period of time of saying that he didn't know anything about Jimmy Savile. Well, of course he did. I mean, it went past his desk. I had it from a whistleblower that actually came forward and said that there was a phone call taken from the private secretary. Well, why would the private secretary be calling Keir Starmer to say, don't discuss the case with regard to Savile? Well, that's quite clear. It's because he didn't want that information coming out. And again, you might come on to it a little bit later on, but you've got Prince Andrew and the whistleblower, which is with the children in Ukraine. I mean, it goes so deep, and that's a bit that frustrates me, that people don't necessarily see that. And you're obviously highlighting it here in this particular case.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very, very important, isn't it? And the author goes on, Vasily Borisov, in my opinion, the decision of the ICC is due to the persistent desire of influential people in Western countries and in Kiev to shift the focus of the attention of the world community from high profile crimes against children in Europe and Ukraine. The technology of subpoena substitution is based on a standard, I would say, well-worn scheme accusing Russia of atrocities that are actually committed by the representatives of the countries of the so-called civilized community. So Vasily is basically saying they're accusing Russia while all the time they're doing it themselves. After all, both in Ukraine itself and in the countries of the European Union, Ukrainian children are virtually unprotected and regularly become victims of crimes committed by paedophiles and other sexual perverts. A very significant moment in July 2022, after the start of the SVO, the British National Crime Agency, the NCA, reported that recently at least 10 citizens of the United Kingdom, previously convicted of sexual crimes against children, visited Polish camps for Ukrainian refugees, despite the fact that these defendants are registered with the British police, They were able to leave the UK without hindrance and become participants in humanitarian missions in Poland. That's an absolute disgrace, isn't it, Andrew?
Well, yeah, and the part, as you don't see within that part as well, which has also come out since then, is obviously Coca-Cola's organization in the Ukraine, which is there with the invoices. So that you're saying that they're not only being supported by these people that are transporting them, but by corporates that are actually help funding this. And that's what it is. And now we to have this overall picture of what's really going on, yet we know nothing about it through our mass media or mainstream media. And this is just beyond me, absolutely beyond me. I mean, how we can allow this to happen is sickening. And I've seen the videos of these people being caught trying to leave the country with these children. It's horrendous.
Absolutely. I mean, it is quite sickening. And after a loud scandal broke out in Poland about this, those who were on the special register of criminals were simply asked to leave the country after a conversation with the Polish immigration authorities and law enforcement agencies. Quite staggering. At the same time, back in April 2022, a British volunteer working in Przemyśl, Steve Jewell, warned that Ukrainian children in Poland were becoming easy prey, not only for paedophiles, but for traffickers. Only during March 2022, from 5,000 to 10,000 children and women disappeared without a trace in the border zone. They could well have become victims, as they are saying here, of a powerful network. And of course, while ordinary, it's going to say, it goes on basically to say that they, of course, they could well have become victims of black transportologists or pimps, the black market they're talking about there, who use threats and blackmail to force unfortunate refugees, including minors, to engage in prostitution. In November 2022, the NCA reported more than 500,000 predatory paedophiles in the UK posing a public danger. 500,000 paedophiles. Is this correct, Andrew?
Actually, I think that number may even be bigger than that. I mean, we're looking at, whenever you're looking at any of it, and I'm looking at the satanic part of this, if you're looking at the satanic part in the US, you're seeing up to 12, 15% of people are involved in that. So to come at 10% of the UK population, do you that wouldn't be that far out when I look at what we're looking elsewhere. But when I see the whole fact about the transportation, it may be people closing their eyes at what really is happening. So they'll play their part, may not necessarily be doing the abuse part, but they're playing their part in the trafficking. And that is a bit that the numbers is actually astronomical. And the problem is that many people whistleblow do go missing, Warren. You know that. There have been
Yes.
lots of people who have gone missing or been unalive. And for coming out and saying things, and including journalists as well, as you well know,
Yes.
that far too many people have been unalive because finding this information out. Not
Yeah.
alone people like Janet Oosterguard, who did the fall of the cabal. I mean, that for me, there is a massive move to try and keep this information suppressed. And people like you that are getting information out there, people have to be grateful for that because this is what really is highlighting it.
Yeah, and I have to say right now, neither ourselves, myself or Andrew have any should we say we if we drop down dead suddenly over the next 2 or 3 years, just remember it will be the people that we're talking about here that are responsible for this.
Sure.
What they then said was the NCA director Lynn Owen said there's, as I said, between 550,000 and 800,000 paedophiles in the country who pose a deadly threat to children. And according to him, this threat only continues to increase, not yet reaching its peak. And while ordinary British paedophiles search for victims on their own, high-ranking perverts, primarily representative of blue-blooded aristocratic dynasties, use an extensive network of secret agents of British public and private services, including intelligence and PMCs, private military companies. And here we come to the concrete facts. From his sources in Ukraine, he states the very much the disturbing information that he has. There is a secret multi-level organization operating in the country that searches for children in Ukraine. This is selects them, prepares documents, legalized travel abroad, and then transfers to the UK, where they become victims of influential paedophiles. At the top of this powerful criminal pyramid of child trafficking is the Secret Service of Ukraine. In Kiev, the director of criminal schemes of abduction and export of Ukrainian children abroad is Sergei Borisov.
And this is the man. This is the man that has a history of let's say, of not being a good person. Yeah, he's been allowed then to be released from prison to go off and organise this for the SPU. I mean, you've got to come on to that. I mean, it's absolutely horrendous.
Yes. The story of his life is very revealing. For a long time, Borisov was an employee of the SPU, the same as Vasily Borisov was one of those people there. He was an employee of the SBU, worked in the investigative unit of the main directorate of the SBU in Kiev in May 2020. He was detained for organising a criminal group that was engaged in kidnapping entrepreneurs for ransom and seizing their property and financial assets. The group consists of former and current police officers. The scandal surrounding the detention of werewolves in uniform was loud. So, this was actually a criminal prosecution. The criminals were charged with more than five episodes of kidnapping, as well as other particular dangerous crimes. The story had been on the front pages of the Ukrainian media for a long time. However, all the persons involved in the criminal case were released in 2021 under a subscription to restrict movement. And in August 2022, the information material about the criminal case was completely removed from the website of the National Police of Ukraine. Andrew.
You couldn't make that up, could you? I mean, it's like you've got a criminal from the SBU going out there, being released to go back and help do the organisation. It's not as though he's being blackmailed in this case, is he? He's been given a free rein to make himself more money.
It is quite crazy, isn't it? And of course, they turn around and say the story of his life, as they say, and it is this story, you know, and then they suddenly removed all this. It is from 2021 that Sergei Borisov gets hooked by high-ranking employees of the SBU who offered him to supervise the children's theme, probably in exchange for his tacit release from criminal liability. The case against Borisov was quickly hushed up. Currently, Borisov is engaged in a selection of suitable contingent in Kiev using his contacts in the juvenile services of the police and state bodies. Now,
I think, he is aware of this. We talk about Ukraine, but the same pyramid happens in the UK. It's not Ukraine. You're highlighting.
Yes, well, we've got a pyramid of people here, and of course we're going to go through this. Now we're talking here about UK charities, we're talking about private military companies, we're talking about people who are. And this is on the English side of what this is being alleged. Now, of course, we turn around and say to the people who are alleged to be in this, by all means, come on the show. And tell us what a load of old tosh it is. You know, come along and have an interview with us. Now, there are various people they're putting forward, including diplomats and, of course, people. And then on the Ukraine side, we're talking about tons and tons of child services. So we have to go through this bit by bit. In this, he is assisted by Irina Shavchuk, an employee of the Shabotchinsky Police Department of the GUMP in Kiev. This is the woman that he is saying is responsible as well. Yanina Elvarich, who worked for a long time in the juvenile prevention sector of the Solomansk district of the police department of the GUMP in Kiev. We're also talking about Marina A. Fishuk. Born in 1988, deputy head of the service, head of the Department of the Service for Children and Family Affairs of the Solominsky District of the Kiev City Administration. This is apparently her. And Orest Krasovich, I hope that's how I pronounced it correctly. In the period of 2014 to 2016, he worked in the Verkhovna Rada Committee, and we all know that's the committee that basically looks after the war. On family use policy, that's like the Ukrainian government, if anybody
And
knows.
these profiles, you check them all out, they relate to the right, and you can see they're almost advertising what they're doing actually on their Facebook
Yes.
accounts. I mean, it's so obvious.
And it's from 2016 to 2019, he was assistant to MP Palatny Arthur Leonidovich, who was the head of this committee of the Verkhovna Ravda. Then we come to Yuri Vitomsky, a former employee of the SPU since 2014. Vitomsky is the chairman of the public organization, Council of the Parents of City of Kiev, and its autonomous division in the Donetsky district of Kiev, a member of the Board of Education, Science, Youth and Sports of the Executive Committee of the Kiev administration. Yuri Vitomsky's daughter is Anna Baskalyak or Vitomskaya, born in 1997, a senior lieutenant of justice, an investigator of the main directorate of the SVU in Kiev. She is not only the mistress of Sergei Borisov, but also assists him in criminal activities of abduction and transportation to Ukraine children to the UK. And of course, that is him. And they are, and Vasily Borisov is alleging that she is part his mistress and is part of this. All expenses for bribes, transportation services, and other related expenses are covered by Ukrainian businessmen Alexander Chipa and Vitaly Kovalenko, who have long worked for the SBU. Alexander Chipa, he was a director of development strategy, Bloc of Left Forces of Ukraine, all Ukrainian Union of Manufacturers, of course, owner of the companies Kreditny Maidan, Strembal, Jetlev Drive, Shinray, and Shvoy, and Vitaly Kovalenko, director of companies. So through his contract, Sergei Borisov selects children, first of all, from dysfunctional and low-income families, as well as from families of internally displaced persons. At the same time, the selection is carried out according to the parameters specified by potential customers. For example, in November 2022, Borisov's group purposefully searched for girls under the age of 10 with blondes with blue eyes. Now, none of this is coming as a surprise to you, Andy.
Not at all. And the way that they've structured it is absolutely perfect, because you've got complete coverage by the SPU. You've got complete coverage of each of the social work department, the social care services, and the children that are being displaced, managed then by the corporates who are doing all the funding. So you've got the whole money men all involved in that, together with the routes. And then the whole crux of it is the transportation from there out of the Ukraine, which has to be facilitated by people that are involved on our side in the UK. So it's almost like a seamless transport of children from social services, displaced, packaged up, financed by these financial guys, covered by the SBU and the police, and therefore chucked on a plane. It's a simple procedure for them to be covered now.
Yeah.
And not to be forgetting that Zelensky's wife, I'm sure somewhere along the line here, is involved with the charities as well.
Yes. Well, for the selected children, the staff of juvenile services prepare the necessary package of documents for travel abroad under the pretext of evacuation from the war zone. Treatment in British clinics or training in educational institutions in the UK. Now, that's separate from the Albanians coming over, selecting a Ukrainian child, going to Moldova, where Sandu has just been returned in charge, even though nobody wants her, because of course she's got a nice corrupt, shall we say, business going on there, where documents are prepared, and then these children are flown to, obviously, the right documents are prepared, saying that the child is their uncle or whatever. And then, of course, they're flown to the UK or to an airfield in Ireland, and then hence on to the USA. And of course, some of these airfields are very private airfields as well. This much we do know, thanks to you. For the selected children, as I say, they're already done. After completing the necessary documents, the children are sent abroad. At this stage, employees, now this is allegedly of the Chemonix International Corporation, which is a subcontractor of the US Agency for International Development, USAID, play a key role in the criminal scheme to export Ukrainian children. Currently, Chemonix Corporation implements 11 projects in Ukraine, including actively promoting the LGBTQ agenda. For example, as Chemonix officially reports within the framework of Democratic Governance East Activity, they always have nice names, don't they?
Yeah.
Active from 2018 to the present time. Representatives of this company are engaged in information and propaganda work on instilling universal values in Ukrainian society, such as social responsibility and tolerance. Well, that all sounds all good, doesn't it? This activity allows dozens of Chemonix specialists to legally stay. And I will say at this point, this is alleged by Vasily Porizov, formerly of the SBU, obviously against the SBU, who are doing this now. So it's well placed. And of course, we don't have any, you'll just be talking about the specifics. We are not accusing Chemonix or anybody of anything. This gentleman is. We're just highlighting and wondering if Chemonix have got anything to say about it. This allows their employees of an international organization to transport children across the border. They deal with security issues, logistics, transport, medical support, and selection of children according to the criteria. Involved in this scheme are Martin King, a former soldier of the Airborne Special Forces of the British Armed Forces, an employee of various paramilitary companies or PMCs took part in special operations in Iraq and Afghanistan since January 2022. God, he's got a resume like mine. Director of Regional Security at Chemonix for Eastern Europe. He personally manages shadow products for the removal of children from Ukraine and their delivery to the UK.
And you're going to find actually a scheme here as well, because actually the special airborne come up quite a lot in this report, don't they?
Yes, they do seem to, don't they? Then we have Matthew Waterfield. Now, he's an interesting chap, because he's a former employee of a number of UN missions in Africa and Asia since June 2022, head of the Chemonix Group at the Partnership Fund for a Resilient Ukraine International Fund. Now, that's him there. Now, I do want to, I'm not going to name the journalist, but an investigative journalist took all this evidence to the NCA, the National Crime Agency, here in the UK, and could not get an investigation done. Now, she wasn't broadcasting this out there. And of course, the next thing that happens is this gentleman begins to follow that particular investigative journalist on LinkedIn, out of the blue. Never met each other before in a million years, and we have the proof of that. So it is one of those.
I wonder how that happened, that connection happened. Surely somebody didn't go and tell him.
You wouldn't. Obviously somebody from the National Crime Agency then went to Matthew Waterfield and told him, because it is a coincidence beyond staggering that you just suddenly decide to follow a woman or follow an investigative journalist that you've never even heard of.
It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, does it?
And then we come on to, shall we say, some even more dangerous individuals. So here we go. This gentleman is called Mark Watson, even has a page in Viki under the name Kostya Goroshnov, a former soldier of the Airborne Forces of the British Armed Forces. So former para, an ex-employee of the OSCE mission in Ukraine, and an employee of USAID. Worked for various security consulting companies. He is in constant contact, Vasily Porizov alleges, he is in constant contact with the middleman in all of this, Sergei Borisov, from what they are saying, for direct transportation of children from Ukraine to the UK. Physical support, or rather, no matter how cynical it may sound, ensuring the safety of the cargo. Employees of the British private military company, PMC, Acadian, are involved. This is alleged by, again, Vasily Porizov. Anybody from Acadian wants to come on and give us an interview, we'll happily talk to you. Simon Roughton, they are saying, is a former
this is
member
dangerous
of the...
one. This guy's dangerous. This guy's dangerous. Simon Roughton.
A former member of the British Armed Forces, formerly a high-ranking employee of the Private Military Companies, or PMC, Aegis Defence, wow, and AKE International. I know through my various contacts and various things I did about Aegis. Training advisor to the 1st Special Forces Brigade of the Iraq-Kurdistan region. Now he is the operational director of PMC, Cedar Security, Erbil, Iraq, and the regional manager of PMC Tactical North in Abu Dhabi and UAE. Wow. Photos published by LinkedIn by Acadian's chief operating officer suggest that Roughton is currently operating in Ukraine. As I say, all this is alleged by four, should we say, very high-ranking officer, Vasily Borisov. Yeah, here we go. Christopher Gibson, a former member of the British Airborne Forces, paratrooper, security and risk management advisor to Acadian, PMC, the paramilitary company. As a British paratrooper and then a soldier of fortune, he repeatedly traveled to hotspot, the Balkans, Africa, and the Middle East. Now, he does sound like me. Given the high-ranking status of British customers of Ukrainian children, Vasily alleges, MI6 personnel are responsible for transporting them to the United Kingdom. They provide overall leadership of the criminal group, as well as providing diplomatic cover for secret missions and assistance from the UK government services. A key role in this is played by Tom Matlock. Now, before we get on to Tom, your investigations here, Andy, do you find this to be the truth?
100%. 99%, obviously 99%, because every one of these ones checks out. We've checked their records on their employments, and we've checked out where they are within the groups, the Acadian group or wherever they're with Aegis. The phone numbers, the socials, they all check out. And in fact, actually, there are other indications that these guys are heavily involved, not just in transporting Ukrainian children, but actually involved in some other transportation children from other areas. So that kind of would lead on to that. So it would appear this to be all factually correct because they're all interlinked and they're part of the airborne services. And they've all known each other for a long time before this operation set up. So you can start to find the links. These are people who know each other already. And therefore, that kind of brings the whole thing together.
Yes. Well, then we come to Tom Matlock, who's an employee of the central office of MI6. Previously worked in British embassies in Sudan, South Korea, and was deputy head of the Department of Foreign Affairs embassy missions in Switzerland and Libya. So this guy has access to the very...
And he met his wife in the South Korean embassy, which you're going to come on to in a minute. I know, Kate English. Wow. But
his wife,
His
wife, Kate English, is also involved in criminal schemes. Previously, she worked in the Secretariat of the Foreign Secretary of Great Britain, in the diplomatic missions of the United Kingdom in Sudan and South Korea. It's that wonderful South Korea again. Yeah. Directly from the embassy of the United Kingdom in Ukraine, Miss English, or Mrs. English, I should say, coordinates operations to select children, remove them from their families, and transport them to the UK.
And the thing that gets me, they've got two children, right?
Wow.
And they've got two young children, and they live in the central area of, let's say, around Hertfordshire, Berkshire sort of area. But they've got two children. They go to a private school, and for me, they transport children allegedly, and they've got children of their own. What do their parents think about it? Their grandparents? What do their families think about it? What do their friends think about it? I mean, it's horrendous that these two people are involved.
It's true. Currently. Rob Parkinson currently is a human resources manager at Palladium, responsible for recruiting staff for the humanitarian and stabilisation operations group commissioned by the British Foreign Office. Now, I know of this. He was granted the right to hire the necessary specialists for further deployment to crisis regions, including Ukraine. due to the fact that the customers of children in the UK are representatives of the highest strata of society, including royal family and its entourage. The criminal group operates in compliance with all conspiracy measures. Sergei Borisov regularly travels to the UK to receive and clarify orders and meet with customer representatives. The last time he visited the United Kingdom was in May 2023. This is the kind of information, Vasily Borisov says, that came into my hands. According to my sources, the criminal scheme still works today. Naturally, such information requires serious verification, but the presence of specific facts allows us to reasonably assume the information is reliable. In addition, the historical facts of the involvement of representatives of aristocratic families and the royal dynasty of Great Britain in scandals around paedophilia only confirm the version about the existence of multi-level criminal schemes for the abduction of Ukrainian children and their export to the United Kingdom, where they fall into the clutches of monsters in human form. The high society of Great Britain is real monsters for which there are no moral or all moral restrictions for a long time. However, having told you, dear readers, about the activities of criminal tandem, the employees of the Ukraine, SBU, and the British MI6 on the abduction of children to satisfy the sadistic needs of paedophiles and tuxedos, I only open the veil of terrible atrocities about Ukraine. Children, Ukrainian children. The investigation reveals only a few episodes of the monstrous crimes of influential figures in Western politics and their care proteges against children and motherhood. But in addition to the British Special Services, pseudo-Christian organizations in the United States and Europe, numerous sects and charitable foundations. In the new investigations, he will focus on the illegal activities of American and European Christian missions that kidnap children and adolescents, including children from orphanages. However, in most cases, illegally exported Ukrainian children become easy prey for homosexual couples, paedophiles and other perverts. They die under the scalpel of black transplantologists or become slaves in the sexual market. So there is more to come from Vasily Borisov. But today, I wanted to get, because you know about this stuff, Andy, you've researched this, and of course, you've read the report. I was absolutely shocked and staggered by it. I read it months ago, a few months ago, but I wanted to be absolutely certain that other people...
You and I had a conversation nearly 2 years ago this August about what we felt at the time, and that's really what started pushing the investigation from my side. And I felt so moved by our discussion about our grandchildren, or we can think of our children, grandchildren, families. It really affected me that day. I remember that conversation you and I had, and ever since then it's been it's gone so deep that I'm not going to name it now, but and you'll know I can. There's one airline company which actually brings them into the UK, which is run by a former RAF person, and they have their own transportation. They have the big enough planes to get them shipped over to the US. You know, they've had them in certain areas, but then you've got special branch involved as well, helping the transportation of children from these airports, which we've not gone on to. But so it does go so deep, and I think it would be good to maybe, as we develop these things, go into more detail at a later stage if you've got time, Warren.
I think we have to have a series of these discussions, of course, because I think it's very, very important. I mean, we have to remember that Special Branch were the people who turned up Elm Guest House Hotel, Elm Guest House, sorry, and threatened the people who worked there to keep quiet. And indeed, the woman who had the actual Elm Guest House list, shall we say, Cyril Smith and allegedly Cliff Richard and other people, of course, was threatened, and they tried to take that list away from her. So Special Branch are very much, as you rightly say, they've got their nose in this trough very deeply, haven't they?
I think you've also got to say the society in Ukraine. You've got the Zelenskys, of course, and you've got Mrs. Zelensky, who's obviously involved with her own missions, and then there's the local, let's say, our UK charities that are involved, which she has very close links with, which I'm sure we can discuss at another time, you know, all those sort of things. And we can start to expose all this. And I think it's more about people need to understand this is not a one-off incident. These are hundreds of thousands of children being transported. And the deaths of these children must be horrific after they've been used so many times. And as someone who survived that sort of abuse as a youngster, I'm lucky I'm still here. And part of my mission now is to try and tell as many people as possible this really does go on and how deep it goes.
Yeah, it is one of those, isn't it? I mean, this is, how can I put this? We have to ask, don't we, just how deep this really goes. I mean, this is almost like it's an international thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's international, and it's become covered now, let's say partially by mainstream media, only the bits that they want to show. They don't show the whole story. So unless people like you and I are going to expose it, we're not going to rely on the Daily Mail or the BBC and all these other organisations to do anything. They'll give snippets, bits that people want to hear. And then you see that in the US, see Trump, what he's doing at the moment. I've got my own views on Trump. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on that I'm not happy with. But essentially, there are children that are being saved, but they're just scratching the surface, to be honest with the world.
Yeah.
It's so deep. And then people shouldn't be thinking there's white knights there going to save us, because they're not. They're all involved in somehow. And we haven't even addressed adrenochrome, which is also out there. So there's so many things for us to have a look at.
Well, we've had, haven't we? I'm just going to talk about this bit for a moment. We've had, literally, I suppose not so long back, just in case you think this doesn't happen, and organ transplants aren't taken from people who are killed. There are mercenaries out there. And here we go. This is just part, shall we say, of what we've seen. We were sent these pictures from Kharkiv Hospital in Ukraine. Now, this is quite near the front line. And they turn up in an ambulance for these organs. So I'm telling you now, they turn up for these organs. And, of course, everybody sort of looks at it and goes, oh, why is he turning up? And then, of course, we get this individual who suddenly climbs out of the ambulance. He looks like a doctor, doesn't he, or some sort of doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. And he goes into a waiting room where they are removing the organs from these people. And here's a photo of the actual waiting room of this actual organ that was removed. Okay, this is all happening at Kharkiv Hospital. This is all under Ukraine. This is all completely above board as far as they are concerned. This is trafficking in the organs. And then the organ is packed like this into this bag. And, of course, that is then taken away. You can even see the time and the date on it. Now, that is then taken away and it is transferred to Germany, where, of course, they then use those organs on the black market or whatever. So if you think this sort of thing doesn't go on, please think again. The gentleman who supplied me with those four pictures, as you were saying, Andy, has not been seen for 15 months. He has disappeared off the face of the planet. His best friends haven't seen him or anything. So he risked his life to get those pictures out to me. And, of course, we've now shown you them, which just goes to show I mean, if anything happens, should happen to us after this, please do go and look at Chemonics and the Arcadian paramilitary companies and those people involved. Because if there is nothing to see here, Gov, we should be perfectly safe. And of course, we do invite them to come on the show and have a chat with us about it and refute it. And maybe at some stage they can get together. But we're saying, we're getting back to you were saying about, you know, what goes on in America. We have to have a look at this because this is staggering. This is Biden-Harris's, should we say, the Florida treasurer of the Democratic National Party. Okay, so helping with the treasury of the Democratic National Party in Florida. He's just been arrested for child sex offenses. I mean, it just goes to show, Andrew, that these people, not only do they embed themselves into positions of responsibility where they can get them, this can go as high as you like, can't it?
100%. And I think you find that if you look at that one in the US, I had a look at James O'Keefe, and he was talking about very much a three quarters of a billion dollars being paid to one transportation company, which is being funded by by the federal government. And you're looking at all of these things. So it's endemic, not only in the payment of these things, but at all levels of that a government and our governments, where all those people are involved in sex trafficking or involved in participating in the abuse of the children. And that's how deep. And just to let you know, Warren, we've also got whistleblowers from the NHS that are just coming forward now, which are talking about the taking away of fetuses and taking away of obviously the miscarriages, and we're taking away stillborns and where they're actually going to and what's happened to the vital organs of these ones and what they're being used for. So all of these things are starting to look at, and these are people that are having genuine concerns that we are starting to see not only the abuse, but also those organs that are being used for adrenochrome and for other things as well, including stem cell research and so on. So, you know, there's a whole lot to look at, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we are in touch with Vasily Porosov, so we'll be talking.
He's a great man. His investigations are amazing.
We will be talking more and more about these. And I will just say these two things, which I think are very, very important before we go. If there was nothing to see here, Gov Honest, why did Vasily Porosov's, it could be totally unconnected, that Vasily Porosov, his car gets blown up. But that an investigative journalist should be followed by one of the people on this list when that investigation should have been secret with the NCA shows me that there is a deep cover-up here, because there is no way that person should have been following an investigative journalist unless somebody from the NCA highlighted that to that person. Now, that is, whoever did that in the National Crime Agency needs to be found and fired, because how can I put this? Even if there is nothing to see here, Gov, which is looking very unlikely, you have to say, even if there is nothing to see here, Gov Honest, that person has had a confidential report handed to them and has handed literally the person putting that report in, handed them on a plate to the alleged perpetrator, a person in a position of governmental responsibility. And I would say to the NCA, that is a gross dereliction of duty and is tantamount to firing, but jailing them as well. Because what they have done, whether Matthew Waterfield is guilty or not, I do not know. That's just alleged by Vasily Porosov. That he was following the investigative journalist is slightly troubling and needs looking into. But we have to know how Matthew Waterfield got to following that journalist. It didn't happen by accident. So who at the NCA, and it could only have been somebody from the NCA, or another agency that was given that documentation to look at, just to check it out, have then informed that man. That's the only way I can see that that's happened, Andy. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%, Warren. And that, the worrying aspect is that we know that all of our information, if it's passed somewhere, is not safe. So we're having a look after behind our shoulders all the time. And you're right, I'm not going to underline myself, and neither are you. We're healthy, happy people. We love our families. We have no chance of going anywhere. If something does happen, then clearly we'll have to be able to go and have a look at the information we presented today. But for me, I think it's important that we try and find out from the NCA who in fact has taken that information and given that to somebody like Martin. So for me, we need to dig so deep. And I think part of our job is going to be going out there, trying to find out more information and keep bringing it together and keep exposing it.
So, absolutely. And if you are watching from the National Crime Agency, and I assume you will be, we need to know who literally in your organisation put that investigative journalist's life in danger by supplying a confidential report to you. And of course, that has then found its way into the hands, or that knowledge of that has been given to the person who is the alleged perpetrator of this, one of the people who is one of the alleged perpetrators of this scheme. So your operative has put that person's life in extreme danger. How can anybody who wants to protect children come to you in any good faith if you are going to be doing things like this. Thank you ever so much for coming to see us, Andrew.
No, thank you.
Where can people find you online?
Okay, well, I have a website, which is www.jalc.org.uk. Well, all our investigations are on there, including corruption and many other things. But, of course, child trafficking and stopping child rituals is a key for us. So, yeah, your support for this is very much appreciated. And if you can visit me online, great. But we'll pass as much information as can to you, Warren, because you're doing an amazing job. And thank you very much for help highlighting this very, very tough situation.
You're more than welcome, buddy, and thank you so much for everything you do. You truly are a hero of the people, and I hope you will come back and see us again.
Absolutely delighted. Anytime, my friend.